if you could see what we could see right now, and we're just looking out of a window, we're at the Digital Wine Communications Conference, Montreux, Switzerland, and we're sat next to a lake, which is through the window, granted, flanked by mountains with a blanket of mist. It's glorious. I'm sat with Ryan Opaz, one of the organisers of said festival. How many festivals have there been for wine communicators?
For wine communicators, quite a few, but this is the seventh that we've done. And at this point, I believe it's probably the biggest one, specifically focused on the convergence of the old world and the new world of communications.
Now, I'm here because I'm not from the world of wine, and I've been doing a couple of talks and a panel, and I'm a little bit taken aback by the passion. 2 years ago, you invited me to Turkey. I'm back this year. And if anything, people seem to be more passionate in a disrupted industry.
Passionate about wine or passionate about communications?
They're just generally passionate about everything they're involved in, some of them. I mean, they're definitely passionate about wine because you have some incredibly, but they're also coming up to me, how can I do this better? How can I do this better? Rather than resting on laurels, maybe that's one of the reasons they're here.
I think there's a generation that's coming more and realizing, okay, the question is no longer what we were trying to do maybe 5 years ago was convince them that digital was the place to be. People were still saying, well, do I need Twitter? Do I need a blog? And while the answer may be you don't need both, you do need the web. And I think at this point, they're starting to see the fact that we've had success. And, you know, sometimes it's a case of follow the leader. Oh, those guys actually did something with Twitter? Hell, I should probably do something with Twitter. And then, to your point, we try to invite enough people outside the industry. It's hard sometimes to get them to come because they're like, I know nothing about wine. I never thought of this, but I think people like you sometimes are intimidated to come to a conference like this mm-hmm. because you think you have to talk about wine. Mm-hmm. And my reason for bringing you is to get them to realize that wine isn't the center of the universe.
And somebody came up to me and I said exactly the same thing. Says, I didn't know how many wine-related slides to put in my talk, so I didn't put any. And they said, thank you for doing that. We wine for breakfast, wine for lunch, wine for dinner, and wine all the way in between. It's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, and, you know, the only way really to improve yourself is to put a contrast to it. Mm-hmm. And the problem is the wine industry tends not to contrast itself, not even with food. It's really kind of strange. And I think, you know, you come from journalism, and now you're this tech maven of sorts who can see opportunities. And so throwing some of those opportunities in front of these people, they realize they might be a step behind, and it pushes them a little bit to catch up. Every year, the jump in understanding and adoption isn't as big as we hope, and maybe that's our problem. We should set our goals so high. But when there is an adoption, it's quite fun. The only area I think we're still lacking is there aren't people who are taking big risks. They're just dipping their toe in. And I think this year having Corvin, I don't know if you talked to Greg much, but Greg from Corvin, he just came in from the medical field, said, there's a need, I'm going to do it. Didn't ask anybody's permission and was successful. And I think we need more of that.
And his invention was a device originally called the wine mosquito, I believe, that you used to drop a needle into the cork and you could drink from the bottle without removing the cork.
Yeah, exactly. It's a way to drink old wines at any time without opening the bottle. And he just said, I see a problem. I'm going to fix it. Let's do it. And I think a lot of the industry has this problem where they see a problem and they go, well, I don't know if I can do it. And you know what? There was nobody talking about Spain when I moved to Spain and their wines online. So I just started doing it. I never said, oh, could I or couldn't I? I suck at writing. So I got into podcasting. You know, I figured something out because I saw there was a need. And maybe this conference puts enough people in one room. They start to see that you can take that leap if you really want to.
Where's audio now? I mean, I really miss those podcasting days.
I miss it so much. I mean, I listen to podcasts daily, all the time. I mean, doing the dishes, changing the baby. I love podcasts. I love that intimacy that you get. And I don't see a lot of it in niches outside of tech and comedy and those types of things.
Recommend me a wine podcast that isn't going to bamboozle me with wine lingo. Oh, wow, there's a gap in the market. You should get back into it.
We're working on it, actually. I have a guy who's an audio guy. in Portugal, and he wants to learn about wine. And I said, I miss podcasting, but I'm not very good with audio. And he does, you know, remixes, all sorts of stuff. So we're going to try to do something there. And there's one, Wine Biz Radio is trying to do something through Patreon, which we talked about. They used to be two really cool guys out in California who talk industry talk and kind of have a, you know, the less knowledgeable and the more knowledgeable person playing ideas off of each other. But overall, I think, and maybe you can answer this, but I don't know where audio is on the average person's radar. I think when they see a computer, they expect to see something. Mm. You know, that's why YouTube is strong. You have YouTube channels where it's just an image, and then you have audio. But it's like without that image, they don't listen to it. Podcasting, to me, it needs a more friendly way of reaching the masses.
I mean, so I think Spotify are coming out with something which would be very interesting because, I mean, streaming audio, you know.
If Spotify does it, it will change. It will change a lot. If you get it on Spotify and some of the other platforms out there, that would be a game changer in a heartbeat because iTunes is a joke. It's not a piece of software anybody should be using. And it's not easy. They don't value the community. If they put the value to the amount of podcasts that are out there, it's huge. And you know, there's really good content that's just sitting there. Nobody's paying attention to it. But you have these niche communities that are so powerful around... Tech is the one area, really, that does audio great. And I don't know if it's because coders like to sit with earphones on, but maybe that's it.
Maybe. Yeah,
You know, if you could get it into the car, too, I think it would take off more. And you're starting to see that through some of the satellite stuff. You can start to get some podcasts. But with wine, I think it's a perfect thing. You're out walking around, you're tasting, there could be a real opportunity there. The area I want to focus on is creating context, which is our theme this year, around a subject. I mean, that, what you just said, I want to push off in that boat across the lake with a bottle of wine and just sit and stare at the mountain. That's a podcast that will sell wine, and you don't need to geek out about the wine. The smells, the sounds, the textures, the colors, that's what sells the wine for me. And so, you know, this year's conference, I've been, every talk I'm saying, look at, lay off the tasting note. My wife, she gave the talk yesterday, and she gave two...
Really powerful talk. People try not to cry.
She gave two views of Porto. One was a sterile tasting note, as I say in wine, and one was a love story about wine, but neither had anything to do with wine. I hope people understood. We're for too long giving this sterile look at an emotional subject. Why? I don't get it. Car owners don't do that. You talk about your girl, you know, and you're working on it. It's like there's these emotional terms, but the wine there, people, more adjectives, give me more adjectives. And that scares people because they don't smell grapes or blackberries or mint, and then they're like, I'm doing it wrong. No, you aren't. Get in the boat, go into the water.
Oh, don't tempt me.
It is absolutely good. The more I look at it, the more I might just steal that boat. You paint a great picture. You put on a fantastic conference. I don't know how you keep managing to do it. Obviously, it's the team. Give them a shout out.
Yeah. We got Robert and my wife, Gabriella. And then this year, we moved to Portugal, and we're finally able to hire a few really good employees, young guys from Robert or Francisco, Sarah, and Matilda, who without them, there wouldn't be a conference. So... great team, and really, you know, we put a lot of effort into making participants first. You know, it says it on your badge, VIP, wherever your badge is. But every participant has a VIP sticker on their badge because it's those ideas and that exchange that really makes it happen.
Thanks so much. Where can people find you and the conference online?
DWCC.co. That's where you go. Yep.
And you're Ryan Opaz on Twitter.
I'm Ryan Opaz on everything. There's the only Ryan Opaz I've found so far.
There's a brand in itself. Thank you so much.
Thank you.